to a low degree. I just mean in the sense of it was base, you know. There's sort of high wickedness, like the Apostle Paul, man, persecuting the church. I mean, that's like intense. There's low wickedness, like, oh, drunkard, drug user, you know, naughty, you know, kind of worthless type of stuff. That's more my alley. But love not the world. God so loved the world. This is the same apostle who wrote, for God so loved the world. Well, obviously there's a little different idea. Again, everything depends on the context. Now, obviously the world, in the sense of the things that are ordered in it, and the things that are in the world, is it all the things, the sinful things, the things people desire? Some things like food, like it's not sinful to eat, but it can become so. Same thing with, that's why it is good to fast. That's why, same thing with, you know, sex. I mean, there's a certain degree to which God said to Adam and Eve, go be fruitful and multiply. And then there's a sense where he said, thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So that can be sinful too. Or the things that are in the world, the things the world runs after. So much of the wisdom of the world is just the enemy of God. So we don't want to be in love with this world, okay? Neither the things that are in it. Now, our brethren, we are not of this world. Love them, though they be in it. You know, you got to take this with wisdom and understanding. The thing is, people tell me, oh, I take the Bible literally. It's like, I do too. But I'm also have enough wisdom and understanding from the Spirit of God to know that, like, well, you don't want to take it all in this very wooden, literal sense where you suddenly start, you create all kinds of contradictions if you do that. You have to use wisdom. God, you know, I mean, the funny thing is like, well, how do you know when to do what? How do you know when to zig and when to zag? You know? You just follow straight after what the Spirit of God leads you in, that's all. But Paul, it leads me in a different direction than it leads you. Well, I have to follow this, what the Spirit of God is leading. If I don't follow what God is giving me, then I know I'm lost. You know? It's this way I'm obeying what's been given me. If God is suffering me to be deceived, then what am I going to do? I'm going to shake my fist at him and say, you can't do that. Can't. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. There it is. That's all that's in the world. The things the flesh lusts after, the things the eyes desire, and the pride of life, all those things. Those three things, even in the Garden of Eden, it's that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And it looked pleasant to the eyes. And to be desired to make one wise. Oh, I'd like to be wise. Ah, it looks good. Looks good. It is good for food, you know. It would be nice to eat it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Not of the Father, but of the world. Even though God the Father created the world. But he created it with a lot of things that are the opposite of him. And he created it with, like you said, he creates, even in the world, humans that are not meant to be eternal, to inherit eternal life. They are vessels of wrath, vessels of destruction, vessels ordained to condemnation. There are also vessels of mercy. There are vessels, you know, there are things in the world which are created merely to be taken and destroyed. There are things that are created in the world merely to demonstrate things to those who are becoming the sons of God. Because the creature, the creation, was made, as Paul said in Romans 8, it was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. God has an expectation of what's going to come out of the world. He's making sons. And he subjects the world to certain amounts of vanity, in order to bring forth those sons according to the counsel which he counseled in himself before the world even began. So it's all according to what he's trying to do. That's why sometimes the way things work, there's, you know, people look for logical reasons. I don't. Always. I mean, there are logical reasons for a lot of things, and we have to have it use a certain amount of logic. But to some degree, that is not, some things are because God says so. Like in the Old Testament, I always think it's funny when people try to say, well, God didn't want people to eat pork because of health. There's a lot of other things he could have forbid if he was really thinking of their health. Then why did he forbid them from wearing cotton and polyester? Well, they didn't have polyester. That's the only thing that popped into my head. Two fabrics, you know, you can wear cotton and wool. They had a commandment of that. Why? Well, it's an image of purity. Okay, they had a, you know, well, I know there are reasons you can come up with for all those things. But ultimately, he made those. He wanted them to obey to make a peculiar people to himself. And it ultimately comes down to what in his purposes he wants to do with us. And it's not always, you know, in a cold, rational, well, this is what is best. It's, yeah, he thinks it's what's best, but it's not necessarily what's going to seem best to man in a pragmatic sort of way. You see, people get confused and think, love is the thing God cares most about. Love. So they say, well, so we should let men marry men and women marry women because of love. See, they've been carried away and deceived in that. Because loving your neighbor is not to be a sodomite with him. That's not loving your neighbor or your friend or your brother or whoever you want to call him. It's not love at all. Now, they are very affectionate for each other. They have a certain love for each other. Yeah, they want what's best for each other. But they don't know what's best for each other. Not in the Christian sense. There's no Christian love in that. Because Christian love loves the truth. And God says, thou shalt not do something. Therefore, it is not good. Whatever he forbids. And it does, there's no, you know, what's the pragmatic reason for forbidding two men from marrying each other? I can't think of any. Well, I could think of a few, actually, especially because of adoption. Like, what if two men who didn't love each other but were pedophiles decided to marry so they could adopt a little girl? And they don't love each other. They're not even homosexuals. See, there's a reason. But you know what? That's not why it's wrong for men to be with men. In my opinion, it's just it's wrong because God says that doing that is abominable. In the New Testament law and the Old Testament law. I mean, if we're supposed to be denying fleshly lust, how are you going to call that? That's what's in the world. In the world, there's sodomy. In the world, there's...